Okay, so we are starting in James chapter 1, and we're going to, I looked at it yesterday, and I think we're going to go like 1 to 11, and we'll pause it at 11, and then we'll see how far we get past there. Okay? I don't know if somebody wants to read. Somebody want to volunteer to read? Or what may do? Joe can read. What are you reading out of? Read the King James. Just how you doing? So this is James 1:1-11, and Joe's reading it out of King James at the moment.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waver is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So shall a rich man fade away in his ways.
Okay. I looked at a few. I answered to read that out of King James just because the Strong's concordance it coincides with the King James. And I looked at that word diverse temptation, it says. And I didn't really understand what that word was, but it means uncertain is all that it means. So it means uncertain temptations, and those are all different for each one of us. We all know that. And then so knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let the patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And most of you here probably know that word perfect there, it means complete. It means to reach the point that was aimed at, is what that word means. And entire, that's the only time in the Bible the word entire is used. And it means complete in every part, perfectly sound.
Hey,
yeah.
Has anyone ever done that?
What?
The patience have its perfect work. Its perfect work is to calm you down. Let the Prince of Peace appear to you. Who is the Prince of Peace? The Bible says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And what else does it say? It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah, I think we're all in the process of learning that patience that this is talking about. So if you don't care for, I don't want to talk too much about, you know, at any point in time here. I want to hear what you guys have to say, but I want to read you 1-11 out of the Message Bible, okay? It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. ask boldly, believing, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When down and outers get a break, cheer. When the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wildflower, so don't ever count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers. Its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Okay. So, anybody got anything that God talked to them about from 1 to 11? And I want to encourage everyone to share if you feel led. Don't hesitate. You're amongst people that love you. So, don't hesitate.
Well, I'll get it going, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about this patience thing. And when you consider that God is not limited by time as we are. And somewhere in the Bible, several times it says, one day is 1,000 years with God. When you feel like you've been patient for 20 years, that's a long time for us as human beings to truly grab hold and keep the patience. It's been like, what, half an hour, God? You know, it's patience is something that, well, we have a hard time with it, don't we? Don't we have a hard time? I mean, my belly, I consider myself, I'm starving when I've just eaten 3 hours ago, you know? We have to comprehend, or try to comprehend, what God means when he's talking about be patient, you know. That's all I've got.
Patience is the mind of God. It's Jesus. That's your patience. That's when you get in the traffic jam and all the cars in front of you won't get out of your way. You sit back and breathe through your mouth and patience. That's where he comes in at. He helps you. I'm a Jesus freak, so I'm
good company. Yeah, I think about the difference that you're describing, Kedia, in patience. I can see the diversity of patience across the spectrum of ages that my children have, and some of it's personality to some degree, but you can definitely see a difference in patience as you mature, and each one of my children matures in their own way and their own patience. But yeah, it's something that's a common theme that I see, that as they get older and as they realize the consequences of not being patient, and they tend to evolve that patience. And you know, I think the same thing is with us with our faith. It's like as we grow in our faith, we see the benefit of patience and trusting in God. And you know, I think that's something that I've thought. And then the other thing that I thought of when I read through this a couple times this week was, it for some reason the vision of Noah sitting outside of Nineveh with that plant, because one of the versions I read called it a plant instead of a flower. I just remember what Noah did with that plant, and then God took it away, and then Noah was in absolute devastation.
You mean Jonah?
Or Jonah, sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's some guy in the Old Testament. No, that guy I spoke about, Jonah, sorry. I remember Jonah sitting outside Nineveh waiting, and the Lord felt him and brought him some peace, but as soon as the plant was gone, so did his peace go, and he was back, you know, in a state of turmoil.
Well, we know this letter, James wrote it to the churches, right? And he wrote it because churches have problems, especially the bigger they are and the more people they have. He doesn't waste any time. He starts off this letter with, you know, count it all joy when you fall into temptations, knowing that patience, the trying of your faith worth of patience. And, you know, he's starting this whole letter off with, you know, getting right to the point here. We have to be patient with each other. We have to be patient with the body of Christ, with the people who don't know God. I just like the fact that he just goes ahead and gets going right away.
Yeah, you know? I got that same impression.
Beating around the bush here. He doesn't have time for that.
Yeah, he's getting right to the wisdom real quick.
Yeah.
But doesn't it say that tribulation worketh patience?
Yeah.
And we want patience, but we don't want to go through nothing.
We want the benefits of patience, but we don't want to be in it.
What's the old joke? I want patience and I want it right now.
Microwave patience.
And then you'll be expected to count it all joy. Yeah.
This kind of about the talking about the little flowers in the field and that, I was grocery shopping and they had on the outside they had these beautiful chrysanthemums and most of them were dead, almost dead, and there was a couple and I was supposed to go to a nursery and had a coupon and I didn't get to because I couldn't get through the traffic. They had one of those blockages is everywhere. So I was so disappointed, but then when I went to the grocery store, I saw, and there were two that were yellow blooms, just ready to burst. They just, and I thought, oh well, and they were only $6.49. They were a bit big, and I thought, well, hey, that's two of them would be $14. I had to spend $25 to get a free one. So, and the only two that were halfway decent, one was really pretty good, but the other one looked like it really was crying for a drink of water, so I took him home. I told the girl, I said, this little flower said, take me home and give me a drink. And so I watered them real good, you know, and I set them out, and I thought, okay, and that will revive. I didn't see too much the next day, but then we got that rain, and it rained and rained, and then all of a sudden, it looked like they were drowning, and I thought, well, they actually look like they got too much water. And I go, what is the matter? And I looked underneath, and the pot did not drain. And it was, so the opposite things were happening. And so I had to hide them from the rain, and then so if they get, but I, and then, and the patience that we and go through to try to, but we need to find what the root of the problem is. And here, you know, I could give it all the water and all the sun, and we didn't get to the root of the problem. There's always a root problem. Mm-hmm. That God is trying to show us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he gives us little nudges and we kind of feel it, but it's not strong enough for us to really pay attention enough, you know. So we have to go on until finally we say, oh, something is, I think I know what it is, you know, so.
Just foreshadowing patience, the later portion of the chapter. We figure out what the source is.
Can I read in the Amplified?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the Gentiles in dispersion, greetings, and says, rejoice. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. So be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. And if any of you is deficient in wisdom, well, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally, ungrudgingly, without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given to him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, that no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting, for the one who wavers and hesitates and doubts is like the billowing surge out of the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable, and uncertain about everything that he thinks, feels, or decides. So let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. And the rich person ought to glory in being humble by being shown his human frailty. Because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun comes up with the scorching heat and parches the grass. Its flowers fall off and its beauty fades away. Even so will the rich man wither and die in the midst of his pursuits. So it doesn't matter about all the money and what you own and all.
I find it very interesting in the very first verse where it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Yes.
Why should, you know, when you mess up, what's the first thing you do? You beat yourself up. But you're telling, James is telling him here, it's okay. You know? It's okay that you're can do that. Mm-hmm. You know? Be joyful in your trials is basically what he's saying. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And for me, I know patience is not a virtue, because I am really not the most patient person in the world, as my wife will tell you. And that's a hard thing for me to deal with. But the other hard thing for me is the very first thing. It's hard for me not to beat myself up when I'm in error. You know, judge myself is really easy for me to do. And that's a big thing that I have to work on every day, not be judgmental of myself. So,
yeah, I think it leads to a state of feeling unworthy over time that reinforces, and maybe that's what James is trying to get at here, is like don't be a misery about it, Mike. Do be, you know, count it joy in that the Lord's trying to show you.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
what it is, and like you said, like if it's constantly making you feel unworthy, I struggle with the same thing. You know, it's just, you know, dampening your vision of what the Lord's going to be able to show you through it. The longer you stay in that state of mind about it, so I think, you know, being able to embrace the forgiveness that He's extended to us. You know, I think James is trying to remind us, like, yeah, we're all sinners, but there's hope in you know, there's hope in Jesus Christ our Lord and the mercy that He shed. And I feel like what He's saying, you know, it seems counterintuitive, saying, you know, consider it joy or consider it, you know, celebrate, you know, in your trial, but knowing that as if we embrace and have faith in what God has promised us, you know, it's going to, you know, be a great work in our faith and move us closer to Him.
When you were reading that, I heard that song in my head, we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up. Saints are just the sinners that fall down and get up.
Amen.
I think the Bible's a really neat word. I think a lot of you think I'm probably over the hill, but this over the hill knows this. That it says the answers to it is in the next three or four verses. Be quick to hear. That's God's voice, the one that never goes away. Mm-hmm. Slow to speak. That might be you have the answer. I always think I have the answer because God lives within me. Mm-hmm. But I'm listening to him. Who are you listening to? Out in the audience, I heard, we hear according to where we're at, meaning probably age-wise, we hear his voice more frequently. You can't believe what I heard in the hospital. I heard him all the time. One time I questioned him. I don't question why, but I know it's you. It's you. It's him in the midst of thee. And it said, be slow to wrath. That meant you went way past patience. Because I have wrath way before I run out of patience. I mean, you know, it just happens to you. But what's happening is his will is working in you to do that good work, which will show forth his beauty. And he's a beautiful thing in all of us.
Amen.
Sometimes we lack the challenge to step up to the plate and say, God, whatever you want. Now, I'll tell you what Debbie and me did. Josh was carjacked the way downtown to pick him up. Debbie and me looked at each other, same time. Whatever it takes for his will to break. You know, you want to pray your kid out of something. That's not necessarily God's will. Through something.
Yeah.
Learning. Being educated. What I love is being covered by the blood. All those things are our responsibility as adults to teach our kids. One time God showed me something. I'm not going to mention who it was. But he said, whisper in this man's ear the blood of Jesus and he'll about throw you away. So I said, okay. The Bible says try the spirits. Boy, I try them as much as I can. In the name of Jesus and with his blood, don't run away from the blood of Jesus. Run toward it. You'll be washed in it. And nothing can harm you. That's the word of God. Nothing can draw nigh thy dwelling. God's word tells you his plan. He'll show it to you. I'll shut up.
No, that's a fact there. God's word. I mean, you look at the Bible and you go to, with God's word in the Bible, to me, it's Matthew and John. That's him speaking. His words can be sent back for whatever, show us everything. And when he speaks in there, he just like when they talk about the women, they're not acting right, they're sinning and all this stuff. And Jesus comes right back and says, you ain't even read the Bible. You ain't even looked at the Bible. How do you say that? You know, and then he goes on to explain to them what he's talking about. That's the word of God. Follow him and he's speaking to us. It ain't the Bible reading to us no more. That went away. Jesus is here on earth. He's inside of all of us. And he's powerful to matter in my life.
God only has the power that we surrender to.
He's teaching us, I see, to know his voice. Because many times you say, well, something told me I felt to do this or that. He's teaching us to know his voice. Because he said, his sheep know his voice and know that they won't follow.
There isn't anything that we go through that doesn't have a divine purpose.
That's right.
From the smallest thing to the greatest thing. And when the Bible says in all things, all things, all, now it can't mean all, because I'm not going to give thanks for this and that. Our daughter Donna, they've lived in their home forever, the first home they ever had. And it's a nice piece of property, and it's kind of private. But guess what? There was, way at the back of it, there was a big sort of, well, I don't know, a couple acres of land all those years, and then they decided they were going to build on it. And they were taking out all the trees that gave her profits, and she, it just killed her. She just couldn't. I it's so bad, I really expected her to move, but she wouldn't move for anything. And so I was talking to her about giving thanks and all things and, you know, expressing that. And I didn't know that it registered until the other day she was in the house and we were talking and she brought that up and she said, "Mom, I started doing that and it made such a difference." Because when you thank God, it frees the spirit to do what he's trying to do in the first place. And we don't realize that in our humanity, you know, in our little pitiful, you know. But it's actually a miracle to us. And you know, so we trust God that if we get in it, we'll get out of it. If we put our trust in him and let him do what he's doing and follow it. And he's faithful and he will every time.
I thank God for Buzzy.
He's something else, and he bless his heart. Yeah, he's a good guy. Loves the Lord, and he's been such a good dad and father and husband.
He's a good man.
Yes, he is.
Anybody else say anything about patience through verse 4 before we get to, like, 5 to 8, I think is a good bit there to talk about, too. So anybody got anything about patience before we go to 5 to 4?
I've been... I would say in a testing period for quite a while. And I talked to Brian a lot about this, but what keeps being called to my mind over the last like year probably is the end of the third chapter of Lamentations. Verse 27 says, "It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young." And then if you go down to 31, it says, "For no one is cast off by the Lord forever, though he brings grief through compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction to anyone." The context of Lamentations is Jeremiah is lamenting about the trials that Jerusalem was going through because they were destroyed by Babylon. And although it Israel then referred to the place, but obviously now it refers to us being God's people. And despite Lamentations being written 850 years before Jesus was born, it's still giving us instruction on how to deal with what God puts in your way. In verse 4, the word for mature or perfect, depending on what version you have, when you look at the interlinear in Greek, it's the word teleos, which means perfect, complete, mature, full grown. And that verse comes from, or teleos comes from telos, which means end, purpose, goal, completion, fulfillment. So I just think that that's a core concept to Christianity, that you cannot come to full maturity as a son of God unless you're tested. So
the testing of your faith worketh what?
Patience.
It also worketh peace.
Yeah. So I just think that that's all been on my mind for like a year straight, that whole concept. So that just spoke to me, I guess.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think
just a
go ahead.
Go ahead, Sam.
Sam, go ahead. Oh, yeah. So this sort of hit home just because I guess it talks about troubles and trials. I mean, I read the Bible, but I get help as far as just understanding, you know, what it's saying. And I still haven't got to a point where I can just read the Bible and be able to go look up this Greek word. And, you know, I'm still trying to learn that. But I listened to a few folks
on YouTube, just to kind of help me understand. So, yeah, apparently this, in some translations, it's trouble versus trials, and that in verse 2. So I guess, what was it, King James, that said trials?
It says
temptation. Yeah, temptation, sorry. So apparently troubles or trials is the better rendering of this, apparently, in this context. And the way, I guess the difference is, I guess troubles and trials are something that are beyond our immediate control, versus like temptation, our struggles, our moral struggles. Mm-hmm. But anyways, coming back to this, let me get my thoughts together. So when your faith is tested, so I mean, you all know what I went through a couple of years back. So at that time, I think that really sort of woke me up, you know. And unfortunately, my faith was not very strong. I realized that right away. And I just, if I did not go through that, I think I would have just carried on exactly what I was doing. Going to church, you know, listening to a sermon and feeling convicted, feeling, you know, like God is talking to me, and go home and rest of the week and just back to normal, and it's just a cycle. So I think I definitely did not consider joy. So, I mean, at that time I didn't even, I mean, I've heard, you know, I know this existed in the Bible, but I never got to James. I'm still in 1 Corinthians. I'm going through the Bible, and haven't gone to James yet, but, you know, reading through this for our study here. So that just, so that definitely tested my faith, you know, and I think we come to a point where we are, if we are just satisfied with what, how we are living, and we are okay, I think we'll just carry on like that, you know. It's, I think, for me, you know, I don't know, I shouldn't say we, but for me, I would just go on that manner. But because of the trial or the what I went through, it made me pause and realized, you know, I'm not in control of anything. I mean, it's kind of sad that I realized this so late in my life, but, you know, it made me pause and think and actually get back into the Word. And I'm nowhere near where I need to be, but I'm growing daily.
Yes.
And understanding more. And looking back, I'm glad it happened. And I guess then looking back, it's a great joy that, you know, that happened to me.
Yes.
But during those times, there's no way I thought it was great joy or anything, or, you know, I knew God was in control. You know, it was just totally, I submitted everything to God.
Yes.
You know, that's, and I needed help to increase my faith. Mm-hmm. It's, I cannot do it on my own. And
that's
I cannot
right.
listen
right.
to mm. great sermons and get that on my own. I mean, you know, from others. And nobody can do that for me. It needs to come from me. So that definitely helped me grow. And it's a struggle, you know. They are coming back to, we haven't got the temptations, but, you know, those things we still, I encounter them, you know, and their days, I can overcome them, their days, unfortunately, they overtake me. you know, and
it's a process.
Go back. Yes. And it is a process, yes. And it's definitely endurance, you know, it just gotta endure it, I guess. So yeah, it's that this verse hit me, and it was real, and I'm glad of what I went through, and it helped me to realize to, you know, uphold others that may be in similar situations, and you know, and
it's really not you, it's God in you that can do it.
Yes, yes, I mean, yeah, totally. Yeah, there's nothing a person can. Yeah.
That's lovely, Sam. Because you know what it brought to my mind, that the action of that loving God who actually had you go through that for your good, for your growth, for your understanding, you know, and then to step back before it, and just after you found out about it, how you felt humanly, you know, that was the furthest thing from your mind, that my loving Father, you know, the testing is for our good and for our growth. It's beautiful.
It's when we see him.
Look how he tested Abraham's faith. I mean, that is testing. And he believed him so much that he did it. And so we don't have to really worry about it, but we do. But it's God in us. It's not us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do it in ourselves.
You know a good book to read? Gordon, John. And take out all the black letters. Totally wipe them out. And just read what Jesus said all through John. And you'll read your story. It's amazing.
It deepens your relationship with him. Mm-hmm. I bet it's put a greater desire in you to know him.
Yes.
And to, I looked at things to make sure. And it puts a greater hunger in you to know him, to seek after him, to know his voice, have a greater relationship with him, become very intimate. It just becomes more.
I don't know about sheep or nothing, but the Bible says a lot about sheep. Could because they're a lot like us. Faith don't come easy. But that sheep don't know that God gave every man a portion of faith. But I was going to tell you, the conversation I had with God years ago and lately when I was in the hospital, I want you to trust me. Beyond your eyes, see me in all things. And you'll get to grow. Because growing comes from trusting. And the testing of your faith, God wants you to know, he tempteth no man. That goes against the word of God. He says he tempted no one. So as it is written, that's the words we should be speaking to ourselves. It said David hoped and he prayed that he would overcome. But who's the overcomer? The one that knows God is. And without him, we can't overcome anything. We might as well surrender. Because he does all things well, and sometimes we don't think it's too well.
Do you know right?
I'm a nut. I'm a nut. When I first got home, I told my brother, "Are you ready?" He said, "For what?" I said, "I'm going to scream." He said, "What are you going to scream?" "I'm home!" He says me, "Did you ever think you was ever coming home?" "Oh yeah, yeah."
but I'm home not for me. I'm home to be a pain in my daughter. She takes care of all my medicines, but I pray that God take care of her.
Yes, amen.
I got a wife that I would treat. I pray God take care of her. But no. Charlene is that woman. I told her, I go like, you're the most beautiful woman at 91. And then she whispers in my ear, I'll be 92.
I didn't want to be cheated out.
But I got run off the road one time on the way home by, what are they called? What kind of drivers are they called?
Semi.
A what?
Semi.
Drunk driver.
Semi? Drunk driver? Semi? Drunk driver?
No, the guy was nuts.
Drink driver.
If I tell you it's not.
Road rage.
Road rage.
Road rage.
Yeah.
And that challenged me. Then all of a sudden, I broke it and said, go ahead. He was trying to go 110 over in the, whatever, the berm, and that was pushing me farther over. So I went back this way and he lost all his hubcaps. He kept going. Never know how many times God spared you from something that could have happened, that didn't happen. See, we thank him for a lot of things that happen. We should for thanking with the unseen and the unknown. Because that's where he lives, in the unseen. We serve the unseen God. We'd be better witnesses if we could see him in the mirror.
Do you know what you were saying about right here in 12? It says, blessed and happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial, stands up under temptation, and when he has stood the test and been approved by who? Approved by God. Mm-hmm. He will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. But it says, let no one say he is tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But every person is tempted and drawn away and enticed, it says, by their own evil, their own desire. But in the midst of all, I'm thinking of you that you've gone through, and all of us have had some tests, you know, we've gone through, that when you came through on the other side, you said the joy, you know, what you have received after you look back and see what, and what he's done in you, that you go through it again, you know, because of what you have learned and received in the midst, and it's him.
It is. God doesn't tempt us, but he does try us.
Yeah, because he tries us, like the silver and gold to bring forth and all that is not of him that comes up and is this,
Sometimes you get your whipping. You will. You know that, right?
Only if you
need it. When I turn my life over to him, my life changed 100%. You know, getting cancer, getting this and getting that and everything. With everything, I knew God would put me in the whole time. The whole time. I had no doubt in my mind that I know Jesus.
Can I say something else about patience? It's funny because you go through something and you think, I've conquered that. That is dead and I don't need to worry about that.
Here he comes alive again.
And then, you know, I'll give you an example. At work, I cannot stand it when people are mean to each other. Just like, some people at my work are just not nice, right? And I've seen them be mean, and it just, it tears me up. And I take everything personally. I like hold it in for people. I hold people's feelings. And it's not a good feeling at all, as I'm very empathetic towards people. So that'll happen. And in my last job, it was with somebody every day, and I withdrew from it. And I thought, I'm not going to, you know, do this anymore. I'm getting away from this person, okay? So my life has been pretty non-dramatic at work for like the last almost 3 years. I've not really had a person be like that confronting me, or like that I'm seeing them be mean to other people. And now, guess what? Somebody's moved in.
Yeah.
And they're very similar to the person that I left. So it's like I've got to determine in my mind that I'm gonna try to be more patient with that person. You know what I mean? I'm gonna try to love them as much as I can, but boy, does it hard. You know?
No, because you gotta let God.
Yeah.
I mean, your determination should be God do, because what he's looking at is your reaction, how you feel toward this situation.
Yeah.
And like when he told me in this situation, how I was with it, I love them, and I want you to love
and
them.
And that is so hard.
It's so hard when they're nasty.
It's so hard when they're nasty and mean.
Yes, it is.
It's him in you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the only way I'm going to be able to get through it.
It's prayerful. You have to be prayerful about it. Because verses ahead, I mean, you know, being you know, slow to speak, and it's really, we feel convicted to speak, and we feel we're coming from a good place, but then at some point we lose the command that he empowers us with if we embrace his love and embrace his word and his words of wisdom in those scenarios, which are to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath, and all of those things are counterintuitive to our human emotional nature.
They sure are.
And I think and he made us out in his own image and likeness, so it's not that they're a bad thing. I think that he and I don't believe he tempts us directly. I think that he strengthened us through the temptation, gives us the power and wisdom and fortitude to get through it. Sometimes Sam said he needed help. I needed help. My wife's wise words and compassionate words during the midst of it, that I wasn't always going to feel this way, that echoed and carried me through it. I didn't believe it when she said it, because I was in the midst of suffering, and it didn't feel joyful at the time, but now I can look back on it and say, you know, see how much I've grown from it and praise the Lord in it. Not to say that, you know, I'm not liable to go through a similar trial or a trial of similar hardship, but this, you know, at least I am equipped better this time to know to trust in God. You know, Aunt Jewel kept telling me, you know, we trust God. We trust God.
Joey, he must love you a lot to let you go through it again.
I guess.
You're bringing another way too.
But you know, I mean, I'm trying this time. I'm like, I'm gonna really try to love this person. Yeah. I'm gonna try. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try to love them.
And not
we can't. I think.
No, they're not gonna love you back.
No.
I think.
Let me tell you, this was a surprise daily around. And God said, I want you to love her because I love her. And he said, pray for her. And as I pray, because in yourself, and you can't try, we can try, we cannot. It's him in us doing it, and we are becoming. If he never changes that person, he changes you.
Yeah.
And as I prayed for this person, God, a love and forgiveness began to come up in me, which was him. And when it started coming up, I looked at him. And you know, this person told me later on, I know you love me. And I have treated you terrible and still off and on does now. But God has really shown me, because I looked at her, I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to smack her little face. And this, and we always want to think we don't have these feelings. Or, oh no, I'm saved. I sure couldn't feel that weight. Oh no, I did. Because when I was a teenager, if you bothered me, you got bothered. I didn't look for trouble. But if you bothered me, you had trouble. So I got saved. There is this portion of your makeup that's there. But God wants to renew it, and to not renew it, really to change it. And the more I prayed for her, I said, where is this coming from? I looked at her, she didn't change, but God was changing. So this person here was, pray for them and don't try. You know, we try.
Don't try to pray.
We can.
We can. Try to bite your tongue and give yourself a moment to pray.
Yeah, you
got
to do.
Walk away
from God. I submitted. I'm just telling you this from my experience. I submitted myself to Him because I wanted Him to change me about how I felt about her. I was ashamed about how. I wanted to climb Jacob, and I wanted to smack her good. This was it. God knew it, and He continued to work on me. Yeah. And He bring her to me sometime, and I thought, oh, God, I want to pray for her. Look what she said or did, you know. And I tell God, this, and God knows this, and I tell Him, yeah. One for her kids. I wouldn't have nothing to do with her, and God said, yes, you would, because I love her, and I want, and if, and right now, there's some things, but you know who God's looking at? He's looking at me. He already knows what she's like and all, but He's designed me to be different in my feeling, my actions with this person.
Yeah.
And I tell you, God, I chose Savannah. Miserable people treat you and others miserable.
It's true.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's true.
For them.
That is the truth.
It's coming from a place of non-joy
yes.
in their own
oh,
lives.
They are.
Yes,
don't nobody come into work and
yes.
good morning if they, you know, feeling all right. And they come in and look at you scrowling and that, and I would think, God, what I have to look at her today. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And God said, I love her.
Yes.
I'm looking at you.
Because you're being judgmental.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, when He starts doing the work in you, He's freeing you. He's really freeing us in these. Oh, I'm telling you, and He can do it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you can do it.
Let's get. Go ahead. Interject something.
Go ahead.
Okay. Short story. All right. I was reading something the other day. I have one of those Bible things that sends you a verse every day.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've literally put my paper down, and now I use my phone because it has information in it that applies to different things. And I think what's important to realize here is how this was written at the time in James' life, you know. You know, when he starts talking of how, you know, basically what he is in relationship to Yahweh, okay, because he was using the word Yahweh at that time, then he spoke specifically about Christ being Lord. Then he talks about, he actually uses some Arabic and Greek language. It's almost combined. And the concept is he kind of made a statement to God's faithful people. Okay, and that statement kind of opens this thing to all people, including the Jews of all 12 tribes. He knew they were going to read this. He knew at the time also that, you know, when you talk about the people who have been scattered, okay, there were people way outside of, I don't know what area he in the land he was in or where this was written at, okay, or where he was. He could have been in jail for all I know. But the idea is that he comes down through there and he talks about, you know, he uses the word brothers, okay, and in reality, the Arabic word that he used actually meant, it was transposed in a lot of different ways, but the original meaning of the word that he used, he really meant brothers, sisters, and siblings. The words back then meant something so dramatically more than what we read into this, okay? We see it as, you know, oh, he's talking to us, he's talking to us. Yeah, he is talking to us. This is written to the church, and we are the church, right? So when you start going down through there, I find it really interesting. And I, of course, the whole concept of what I want to say here is, I was literally looking at other translations, okay? So we go to the Message Bible, and we go to, you know, King James and all this. And all of a sudden, something popped up on my screen, and it says, there are 3,855 actual biblical translations right now of the original word. It has been translated into 2,485 different languages and dialects. And I was so floored.
And it's funny because there's only one way to understand it.
I understand what you're saying, and that makes perfect sense to me. But the idea is that what I'm trying to convey to you is, at the time when this was written, okay, I'm telling you, the word Christian was a cuss word. We were, you know, and even today, if you use the word a Christian in some settings, you're almost cast out, okay? There are people that just don't even want to hear what you got to say. You're immediately rejected because of the word Christian, okay? So I think it's so important to realize that in the context of when this was written, he quickly got to, hey, you need to be happy when bad things happen, okay? When you're tested, bad things are going to happen, right? He made it clear. And it's going to happen in all kinds of different ways, and there's not much you can do about it, okay? So he literally started talking about what produces endurance. What produces your faith endurance through the process of following Yahweh, okay? So I think it's real important that, you know, we realize that at the time when this was written, you could die very easily in certain settings. And, you know, they would kill you for being a Christian in this time period. And there was no, I mean, there was no, in a lot of instances, trials or anything that where you could prove you were anything but, okay? And then you were going to die. So anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because of the fact that I find it really amazing that these first verses get to a point to where it literally talks about the fact that you can be mature and complete. Mature and complete. And even to this day, so a lot of times I'm not very mature and I'm definitely not complete. And I think that what you were talking about, how these things are written, as you go on through this particular writing, okay, this book, James uses all kinds of certain sentences in this that are directly out of Isaiah, directly out of Proverbs, directly. I mean, it is amazing how he wrote this thing so that there are people who were not Christians who would read this, who that they would put this connection together, you know? And yet there's such a lineal line between Judaism and Christianity, you know. There's such a connection between it. And I think that he was really trying to specifically write to the non-believers also, you know. He really was. So that's about all I got. Is that, you know, I look at things from the context a lot of times in history, and just because I'm kind of a history buff, so. But I think it's important for our opportunity here to make sure that you're on the right translation, right? And that's the only one that where the Spirit speaks to you through these words. That's the translation.
The amazing thing about God's Word in the Bible is that you don't have to be a scholar to get in there and read, and God talk to you.
Yeah.
He will talk to you personally through these words. And there's so much in here, you think, oh, I can't understand all this, but you start reading and you find out God starts talking to you through His Word. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And no matter what all these translations are, what's the end result?
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, and it is, with all the different ones that we read, because we have Amplified and King James, but we got to certainly know that all the Bible studies, the going to visit, knowing His voice, knowing Him.
For you, God is personal.
Yeah, for all of us, each one of us, to be have a personal, intimate, individually with Him, then we make up the whole. And
that's
it's knowing Him. I just know His voice. I don't care where you're at. You don't have to believe.
That's the pearl of great price.
You better believe it.
No, only that you embody speak slowly. Like sometimes, doesn't he? Like sometimes when we're in an argument or the kids are asking a question, he'll be very, very slow to answer. He thinks about it, he deliberates it in his heart. So I see that character in you.
And me, I'm
nothing personal, but that's a man thing, okay?
Not all men.
And there's some women like that.
Let me put it to you this way.
It's your personality.
Once you grow into being a man, that is a man.
But, yeah.
Okay. And sometimes I truly believe that it's almost Jewish of him.
It's Jewish of him.
If you ever get a chance to really talk to a, I don't want to say an Orthodox Jew, but I want to say a practicing Jew, when they talk to you, they tend to listen to what you say, and they don't reply right away, and they give you an answer that most of the time you don't want to hear.
But is that what they've been taught, or is that them?
It is the way they are raised.
Yes,
okay.
They've been taught.
So sometimes I think that concept of having the ability to literally think your way through certain things before you open your mouth and stick your foot in it is
God's trying to make
very Jewish.
So I don't think we have 5 to 8 is a pretty meaty chunk there, so I don't really think we have time to get into it the way we should. So we probably will stop here at 4. Last thing I would like to say to you is, as I'm looking at my Bible here, and this is my old King James that I got when I got baptized in 1980. It's falling apart, but it's still around. And the word that I have underlined in verse 4, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work."
Yeah.
Now, you can fight it all you want. You can try to not let it happen. But you know what? Patience is going to win out. It's gonna teach. You're gonna get patience. You're going to learn it. God's going to teach it to you. So that's a great piece of advice right there, to let patience have her perfect
work. That's the key word, let.
Right.
That you may be perfect.
You can fight it all you want.
Lack of nothing.
But the smartest thing you can do is to let it happen.
Yes.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah, you got to be patient before you open your mouth.
True.
God's going to have His way.
So we got through verse 4, and which is fine. Like I said, we'll
start at 4.
We'll start at 5, basically. 5 to 8, for sure, we'll kind of look at. There's a lot of
I think it seems like a lot of meat there.
Are we trying to set a time, you know, like for the...
When do it again? Or time?
Oh, when we do it again. Oh, goodness, we got, what, three more? They're gonna be, we should be doing a lot of reading and learning.
Yes.
Read it again, and then I guess the first of the...
And let patients speak to you about what it wants to tell you, right?
Yes.
Right? I mean, we'll have to figure out how we want to go forward. If we want to, you know, I mean, it's great to hear from people that we don't always get to hear from. And you know, like I said, it hopefully it'll get people more comfortable with sharing what God's teaching them and showing them. And that'll just develop however he wants to develop that. So,
is there a timing on this?
Like
when?
What is this? The
we said we were going to do it the first Sunday of every month.
Oh,
we're not doing potluck then on the first Sunday of every month then.
Yeah, when do we want to go back to having potlucks? Because I know everybody loves potlucks.
Go back to what?
Potluck.
There we
go. Do we want to do that
the second Sunday?
Second Sunday.
Sunday for potluck day.
What do you think? Let's try to do a potluck next Sunday, I guess. What should we do?
Now see, and next Sunday is when my cousin.
Will we have a service?
Yeah, it's going to go normal service,
normal service, and then that, okay.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, what do we want for potluck? Are we thinking chili? Do we think...
Chili griddle. What is it, griddle?
Chili? I don't know.
Chili?
Chili and spaghetti? Chili?
Anything y'all women make good.
Are you going to bring a dessert again?
Yeah, I'll bring it.
You all make.
Okay.
We'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out. I'll send out
notes. Let's close in a word of prayer before we leave. You're all right, Ernie. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance to look at your word together. We thank you for the insights you've given that you've shared through your people today, Lord. We ask you to give us ears to hear and help us to learn that word let.
Thank you, Lord.
With all my heart.
Help us to learn that word, Lord, and understand it and not fight against the things that are of you. And trust you through them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So we just thank you for everything. Ask you to keep your hand on everyone in this room and bless them.
Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.